from the side, pertaining to the mayit. There's a lot of ignorance pertaining to this issue, mayit. Most people are unaware of the rules of the Messiah pertaining to the mayit. And because of unawareness, of ignorance, the ground becomes fertile for bid'ah. Then bid'ah practices are developed, and in this manner the sunnah is completely displaced. The janazah service, the janazah consists of the ghusl to the mayit, the ghusl, and the kafan, and the dafan, the burial. This service, it is fard kifaya. Meaning of fard kifaya is, if a few people in the community, they discharge their duty, then the entire community is absolved. It is the responsibility is discharged on behalf of the entire community. But if no one undertakes this duty, then the entire community will be held liable for having abandoned the farad. Then this farz devolves firstly on the immediate family of the mayit, on the children. It devolves upon them. This is not a duty for a burial society. Nowadays, because Muslims have shirked their obligation, they are no longer interested in fulfilling their farz obligation. For that reason, burial societies have come into existence in emulation of the kuffar. There's kuffar system, burial societies. There's arisen a need for such societies because they are sometimes paupers, poor people. When they die, they have no relatives. That is now the duty of the entire Muslim community. They have to attend to it. So this burial society is performing also a service in a way. But for those who are able to carry out this obligation, it remains wajib upon them. It is not permissible for the children and the asabat, that means the relatives, the close relatives, to shirk this responsibility and pass it off onto a burial society. Nowadays there is this malady, this disease, that when a person passes away, they are of good standing, financially also the family. They have big homes and houses, but the way what they do, they send it to a public place. And the greatest evil is even females. A woman who dies at a home, they expel the body from there and take it to a public place. Look at the Qabristan, what they do when you lower the body of a woman. The body is covered. It's supposed to be covered, although there's not a proper covering. We don't have proper system. It's just a symbol there, a makeshift covering, which it doesn't fulfill the purpose of that. This covering for the female body was introduced by on the instruction of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Before her time, this system did not exist. She made wasiyah to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha that when I die, don't inform anyone. Don't inform anyone, just you and one or two others. Give my ghusl, everything, and bury me in this manner, and cover my that thing. In addition to the six coffin shrouds, which draped the body of the woman, there is this, she instructed them to erect a tent, not a sheet, a tent, around to cover her, that no one must see her body at all. So when she died, they buried her silently in the night, and even the Khalifa of the time, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, was not informed. He was in Medina. No one knew. After they buried her, there were three, four, five people at the janazah. Afterwards she was buried, then only the next day or day after, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa, and others were informed. So much haya Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha had. She did not want anyone to touch or see her body. So from that time, it has become the sunnah of the ummah. There's ijma, consensus of the ummah, that this is now necessary to cover the female's body. Right, so to take the body of even of a male unnecessarily from the house to a public place to give ghusl there, that is a very bad commentary on the family and on the community. The ghusl was always, we always should give it, always at our homes. There's no reason why the ghusl should not be given at home and be taken to a public place. It's not permissible to shirk this obligation. Right, after the ghusl has been given, then the kafan. The kafan has to be immediately, and that also is a duty of the home people. So as soon as the kafan has been wrapped over the body, comes the janaza salat. It is not permissible to delay now the janaza salat. People delayed for hours and sometimes for a day or so. They wait, waiting for relatives from this town and this city, they must come. And all this is israf, waste, and show, and riya. What are they going to come do? They come from Joburg, from Durban, they're coming for the mayor. Who are they deceiving? They're deceiving themselves. They spend, 20 people come, spend 50,000 rand in airfares. If they had feeling for that mayor, they would have come to this relative and said, this 50,000 we are wasting here, whatever amount, let us give it as sadaqah sawab jariya for the mayor, so that that mayor can get the sawab. But no, they will come and waste money and burden the people here with that. Must feed them now, feed them also. And this is the way they think they delay. Yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إذا وضعت الجنازة when the janaza is ready, فاختم الرجال على ناقيم, and the men folk then they lift it on the shoulders. فإن كانت صالحة قالت قدموني. And where if that mayit is a salih, a pious person, what he says, قدموني, take me quickly, make haste. The mayat is telling, make me haste, I want to go ahead to my abode. If that mayat is a salih, a pious person, then it knows now what is his abode, so it wants to go ahead. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ غَيْرَ صَالِحَةٍ قَالَتْ لِأَهْلِهَا يَا وَيْلَهَا فَإِنَّ تَذَهَبُونَ بِهَا. And if that person is not a pious person, the mayat, he or she screams, Ya waylaha, alas, to the family people, where are you sending the sinaza me ahead? Where are you sending with me? Yasma'u sawta kullu shayin illa lisan. Everything hears that wailing of the sound of the wailing of that maid except insan. Walaw samyal insan lasaika. And if insan had to hear what that maid is screaming, he will fall down in unconscious. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Astri'u bil janaza. Make haste with the janaza. Make haste with the janaza. Fa'in taku salihatan, fa khairun tuqaddimunaha ilayhi. If that person is a mayit, is a salih, pious person, then that abode you're sending him ahead, it is better than here where the body is lying there. وَإِنْ تَكُوْ سِوَى ذَلِكَ فَشَّرٌ تَضَعُونَهُ عَنْ رَقَابِكُمْ. And if that mayit is an evil person, then make haste to get rid of him from your shoulders. From your shoulders, get rid of him. So there's either the mayit is pious or the mayit is impious. If it's pious, you are giving the mayit taklif by delaying it there to fulfill a bid'ah. and a haram custom of waiting for people from other towns and from far off coming and delaying the janazah. And if that person is an evil person, then you are violating also again the command of Rasulullah Sallam that you must get rid of him. Get rid and send him ahead. Then another bid'ah which will be very surprising for you people is the what happens now to the janazah. Firstly, after the janazah, it is people are under the impression it is compulsory you must bring it to the masjid, the janazah. If there is, wherever you have given ghusl and made kafan, if there is place there, then you perform the janazah there. There's no need for bringing the janazah namaz, the janazah to the masjid. In fact, according to the Hanafi Mazhab, it's not permissible. For that reason, we perform either the back, in what we call the sahan, which is not part, the back section, is not part of the masjid proper. So, according to the Hanafi Mazhab, it's not permissible to bring the janazah into the masjid, and it's not permissible to perform janazah salat in the masjid. So, wherever there is place available, if there's place available, perform the janazah namaz same time there at that place and then go straight on to the qabristan. Now another issue where a bid'ah which has crept into us is that the janazah is taken by a vehicle. That's not Islam. It's a kufar system. This traveling, putting a guy in a vehicle and taking it. Now you can ask a distance, how is it possible to carry the janazah? In the first place, the qabristan is in walking distance in a place like Malabar. Then you'll be surprised that this, speaking now in our city, Port Elizabeth, this practice of the taking the janazah, the mayit with the vehicle, it developed when in the late 50s or in the early 60s. We used to carry the janazah from where? From Commercial Road, that's 8 to 10 kilometers. To where? Where? Near to the airport, the old qabristan. And when you get to South End, it's all the way uphill. When you come to Warmer Road, it's very steep up. And we used to carry the janazah. I clearly remember how we used to walk, and we used to carry the janazah. It's lately that this practice developed. People became lazy. And the ahkam of the Shariat, no importance in the arts, ignorance prevailing, and then this new bidah starts. And now even the young fellows are all flabby, they are all flabby and hopeless. They cannot walk with the janazah. There's no opportunity to carry the janazah in the sunnah manner. The sunnah is that at least everyone should walk 10 steps with the janazah on their shoulders. Yeah, we have to carry it like the kuffar carry their coffins. We have to carry it in the masjid, that they can carry it out. There's no opportunity to put it on your shoulders and to walk. At least they should stop a distance from the qabristan at least and get off there and carry the janazah to the qabristan. Then another evil is this, that when the janazah, when a person dies, then you see a flock of women, a flock of women converging on the home. Absolutely no shame. They stand and they parade out there for what they come. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once he saw a few women at the place of the mayit. He asked them, "Are you going to give?" It was a man had died. "Are you going to give ghusl to them, to the body?" He said, "No, Ya Rasulullah, no, we're not giving ghusl, it's a man." "Are you going to carry the janazah?" He said, "No." "Then get away, chase them away. Go home, chase them away. What's not your, what is the purpose for them coming there?" So they come there and shamelessly they parade amongst the men. If you want to go, a person who has got some haya, some shame, if you want to go to the house, you cannot enter the house. Because they are often all these women folk. Right. So now, then, after the mayat is buried now, right, you know, while the mayat is being buried, other practices, un-Islamic practice, bid'ah take place. What happens? Everyone is under the impression that when we that there's an official ceremony that going to, of du'a is going to begin after the body, the qabr has been closed. Firstly, before when the qabr, when the sand is being filled, no one, this practice, the sunnah practice of every person taking three handfuls of sand and throwing in the qabr. That's completely, it has been killed off the sunnah. The first time you take two hands you throw in, and you say, recited Ashwadai, Humina Khalqnakum. Allah Ta'ala. And from this hand, we have created you. And then the second time you throw again, and you recite, Wa fiya nu'idukum. And to go into the sand, we are returning you. It's ayat in the Quran. Then the third time when you scoop up your sand and throw it in, وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَىٰ. And from this sand shall we, Allah Ta'ala say, extract you, take you out again the second time on the day of Qiyamah. That is it. But there's no opportunity. There's merely start with the spades. No honor, no respect for the mayor, just starting off the thing. So everyone those with the space should wait until everyone has received the chance to throw the sand in, and then the space can follow. And then whilst the mayit is being lowered and the qabr is being prepared with the planks, etc., etc., everyone standing around there talking about the dunya. Okay? When you are there, you have to, everyone should make, there is no sunnah ceremony, understand, congregational ceremony, that you have to wait now until the qabr is completed, and now the imam sahab must begin now with his thing, with a dua or reciting. No, everyone individually should recite there whatever he is able to recite from the Quran. Recite, if you are able to. For the first few ayat of Surah Baqarah, last few ayat of Surah Baqarah, then whatever else you wish to recite it, and ask Allah Ta'ala to accept it, and to bestow the sawab to the mayyit. Everyone who's standing around there, they should recite, not engage in conversation. And then after the qabr is prepared now, everyone attention now. Now they're under the impression now. Now they ceremony now. There's nothing of the sort. While the qabr is being filled, and afterwards also, it is permissible at any time you can recite and leave. You don't have to wait until the imam leaves. Now you all start leaving. There is no such custom there. These are all bid'ah customs. So these are the few. Simple, the thing. Allah Ta'ala has made very simple. The burial also was simple. We undertake all these difficulties, introduce the bid'ah, and the thought of the mayit is not there. Another purpose of going to Qabristan is to remind us that tomorrow is our turn that we are going to be buried there also. So we must make ibrat, take lesson, and make preparation, that thing. There are two reasons for going to the Qabristan. One is for the benefit of the mayit, although that benefit can be from your home also, or from your shop also, wherever you are, where you're walking also. Recite Qul Huwallah and bestow the sawab to the amwat. Once one buzruk was going to the Qabristan, and he saw all the souls, the arwah, outside the kubur, the graves, and they were picking up things, as if someone picking up something, and picking up, but you didn't understand what is happening. Then, he made dua, Ya Allah, what is this carrying on here? So Allah Ta'ala said, you go ask one of them. So Allah Ta'ala indicated to him, told him, so he went one of the Arwah, he spoke, and he asked, what are you people doing here? What is happening here? He said, we are all the Arwah of this Qabristan. A week ago, last Friday, a week, 7 days ago, one alim passed by here, and he recited Qul Huwa Allah three times. And he asked Allah Ta'ala to bestow the sawab of these three surah ikhlas to the amwat of this Qabristan, the amwat of the mu'minin of this Qabristan. And so much sawab Allah Ta'ala has cascaded here upon us that since the last 7 days we are still collecting the sawab. So the mayat, the amwat, the dead, they're always waiting in anticipation of their living relatives and friends and others to send gifts of sawab for them. Yet what we do is squander the money, squander the time. Everything is done in conflict with the Sharia. The Sharia says, don't waste, then we waste. Bury the mayat quickly, as quick as possible. We do the opposite. Everything is the opposite. So the relatives also, they've got no concern in their heart. There's no ikhlas for that reason, they waste. If they had ikhlas, that thing, if they had true concern for their mother, their father, their uncle, whoever is dead, they would not have wasted their money. You could tell them, okay, you people are now, I've spent 20,000 rand in this AFS, give us this 20,000 rand, establish some sadaqah, jariyah project, that thing. They will not be prepared. Maybe if they got a lot of money, they say, no, we'll give for that also, but this is what they want to carry out, this practice also. So that's all shaitan yet and his trap, that thing. When a person's mind and heart are not set on the akhirat for which Allah Ta'ala has created us, then we do all kind of funny things and all types of bid'ah. Develop, and we drift further and further from Allah Ta'ala. So there's a need, that thing, for the people to revive the sunnah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati falahu mi'atu ajrin ashahid." Whoever revives or whoever holds on to my sunnah at the time of the corruption of my ummah, then we have forgotten and abandoned that thing, the sunnah, for that person there is the reward of 100 shuhada, 100 martyrs. You get that reward for reviving one sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So wherever possible, one should revive the sunnah, and everywhere that is within the capability of every person. Wherever there's a bid'ah gathering, don't participate. Same thing after Salat, just by the way, I'm just mentioning it. See, the dua is silent. It's not, although it appears to be a congregational dua, an ijtimai dua, it's not an ijtimai dua, it's a dua individually. For that reason, the masnoon tariqah is to make the dua silently. So you don't have to begin your dua when the imam begins. And you don't have to end your dua when the imam ends the dua. It's meaningless. You're making your own dua, ask of your needs of the dunya, your needs of the akhirat, ask Arabic duas, ask your duas in your own language, you know your needs. So you make your own dua. And you say you start whenever, you don't have to begin the dua when the imam begins. You can continue reciting or make your tasbih. Only we should remember that after Fajr, after Zuhr, and Maghrib and Isha, it's not permissible to make a long dua. You see some people, due to ignorance, they will sit and make a long dua after the Zuhr, and Maghrib and Isha. After these salat, there are sunnat mu'akkada salat to be performed. Sunnat mu'akkada. And the masal is ittisal. Ittisal means connect. It is necessary to connect that sunnah mu'akkada with the farad. For that reason, I call you some fuqaha, you have lost, you lose the sunnah mu'akkada. It becomes the order in nafil then. The two rakah sunnah mu'akkada after the farad of Zuhr, the two rakah sunnah mu'akkada after the Maghrib farad, and the two rakah sunnah mu'akkada after the Isha Farad. There it is necessary that immediately make a short dua. There's a short dua, the Allahumma wa salam or anything similarly, similar in shortness, and then immediately get involved in your sunnah. No, don't speak. You engage in any talk, then you, there's not only the samab you lose, but the status of the salat also, it is reduced now to nafil salat. So I say that these masail also are recorded in books. We have written many books where people are lazy. They're not actually really lazy. They're not interested. The importance of the deen is not in the heart. For that reason, I mean, we all, whatever I've said, now you'll find now Kitab al Janais. Take it up and start to read it in there. Kitab al-Tahara, Kitab al-Salat, etc. And educate yourself. And educate yourself to ensure that you follow the sunnah in a correct manner.